profound door of a stone, a leaf, a door, and of all the forgotten faces. A stone, a leaf, a door. These are the keys that unlock the marvelous memory of Thomas Wolfe, America's great prose poet. These are the magic words that carry us back into the lost country of his youth, back to Altamont, scene of Wolfe's novel, Look Homeward, Angel. Thomas Wolfe was one of the great literary figures of this century. Physically big, vital as a personality, driven by a hunger to understand and experience life, he produced a number of monumental novels before he died, tragically, in the full flower of his talent at the age of 39. Today, the Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, presents a dramatized segment from one of Wolfe's novels, Look Homeward, Angel. This was adapted for radio by Elizabeth Lomax and is directed for the workshop by Mark Sloan. The musical score is by Alexander Semler. Farewell to Altamont from Look Homeward, Angel by Thomas Wolfe.
There comes a time when we must say farewell to the magic hills of our youth, when we must set out to seek our fortunes on coasts more strange than Cipango, more far than Fez. But as the elfin door swings shut behind us, we give a cry of pain and sadness, for we shall not come again, we shall never come back again.
Eugene Gant was 18. He was going north to college. This was a strange circumstance, for he lived in a boarding house and was youngest of a hard-working brood dominated by a desperate sort of meanness about money. But the brood, for once, had agreed to do something for one member of the family, and Eugene was recognized as peculiarly sensitive and talented. So Eugene, at 18, was about to take his leave of the familiar surroundings. Already the southern mountain world of his childhood was fading from his eyes. Already it appeared to him somewhat as a dream or fantasy. The square of Altamont lay under blazing moonlight. Eugene stood on the corner by his father's shop and read the letters on the faded.
William Oliver Gant, stonecutter.
On the porch of the shop, the angels held their marble posture, frozen in the moonlight. And leaning against the iron railing, a man stood smoking.
Is anyone there? I say, is anyone there? Your face is pointed and yellow like gold ivory. And you have that same way of smoking. And when you jerked your head towards that angel just now, I thought, who are you?
Listen to this, would you?
Ben? Is it you, Ben?
Yes. Who did you think it was, you little idiot?
I wasn't sure. I couldn't see your face. Thought that you were dead, Ben.
Ah, listen to this, won't you? No. No, I'm not dead.
Ben, are you a ghost?
No, I'm not a ghost.
I hope this doesn't mean, then, that I'm crazy.
Why not? Of course you're crazy.
Ben, I'm imagining all this.
How should I know?
I mean, is this the town square of Altamont? Is that the drugstore, the courthouse, the jewelers? Is this Papa's shop? it you, my brother Ben, I'm talking to? Has all this ever happened?
All what ever happened?
All our life here in Altamont. Our house on Woodson Street. Papa's big roaring fires, his rampages, his trying to carve an angel. Our life here, Ben. Our family all gathered round the kitchen table, eating Mama's huge meals. Daisy, Steve, Helen, Luke, and your twin, Grover, who died of typhoid in St. Louis. I was just a baby then, but I remember him. I always thought of him as your angel, Ben. Am I right?
How should I know?
And you, Ben. You were always my friend. Remember how you cuffed me, Ben, and told me to go out and get a haircut? And the next minute you give me a dollar bill or something. You were the only one who ever gave a darn about me.
Forget it.
The nicest thing you ever gave me was that bicycle. You bought it with the money you earned on your paper route. Then you got me a route, too. And we used to walk out under the stars and stop in the Greasy Spoon for coffee and donuts.
Forget it, I said.
Everything else that happened to us, Ben. Mama buying Dixieland and taking in boarders and me going off to the state university. You mean all that was just a dream of some kind?
I tell you, I don't know.
And Laura James, Ben. I couldn't have dreamed her up.
Are you still thinking about her, you little idiot?
She still keeps coming back, Ben. Just like she was that summer at Dixieland when we started to sit on the porch at night and talk. She was slim and clean, and she had yellow hair plaited around her head and green eyes. I thought she was plain and dull, but I began to sit with her at night.
Eugene?
Oh, it's Laura James.
Come on out, Eugene. Here, I'll make room for you.
Thanks. Oh, it's been a hot day.
You people here in the mountains don't know what heat is. You ought to spend the summer down on the coast.
You're from Little Richmond, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Do you know anyone from there?
I know John Byam and a boy named Ficklin.
Dave Ficklin, yes. They both go to Pulpit Hill. Do you go there?
Yes, that's where I know them.
Do you know the two Barlow boys? They're both Sigma Nus.
Yes, I know them. They're football men.
Do you know Shooks Warren? He's a Kappa Sig.
Yes.
What fraternity are you, Eugene?
I'm not any. I was just a freshman this year.
Well, some of the best friends I have never joined fraternities.
Well, my brother's growing up. You seem to have acquired a girl all of a sudden.
Who? What are you talking about, Helen?
You know who I mean. Laura James.
Oh, she's not my girl. She wouldn't look at me.
I'd like to know why not.
Oh, I don't know, Helen.
Why, slats, honey. I believe you're in love.
What if I should be? What good would it do me? A girl like Laura. She's so elegant and rich.
Why, what a way to talk. You're just as good as any wholesale merchant's daughter.
Oh, Helen, what's the use? Just look at this place. Dixieland. A cheap boarding house. Just look at the people who live here. Why, Mama will take in maniacs and thieves, anybody who can pay.
I know it, honey. But never mind all that. If Laura's as nice a girl as I think she is, she won't even notice Dixieland. She'll be too busy thinking about you. Talk to her, Jean. Make her forget everything but how splendid you are, how much you've read and all.
That's why I say, Laura, that Aristophanes is a great fabulist. The great fabulists are all satirists. Voltaire, Swift.
Eugene, are you out here?
Yes, Mama. What's the matter?
Who's with you, boy?
Just Laura, Mama.
Oh, son, you'll have to do something. Janadu just called up. Your papa's on the rampage again. He's been drinking.
Mama, for goodness sake.
He's coming this way, child. There's no telling what he'll do. He'll drive my boarders away. He'll ruin us. Oh, go and try to stop him. Head him off. Take him back to his own house.
All right, Mama.
Wait, Eugene, I'll go with you.
You stay where you are.
Eugene, I want so much to help you.
No, Laura. I'll handle this. But wait for me. I'll come back as soon as I can. Laura, I thought you'd be in bed by now.
Oh, no, I told you I'd wait, so I waited. How's your father?
He's all right now. I got him to bed finally. Helen is with him.
Eugene, your hand's wet. It's bleeding.
It's nothing.
Poor hand.
Laura, I'm sorry.
What are you sorry for? What is there to be sorry for? Oh, Eugene, don't cry. My dear, let me kiss you.
My dear Laura. My sweet, beautiful Laura. My lovely Laura. I love you. Next day, we walked out into the hills, Ben. We lay on our backs in a field of daisies, watching the clouds sail by in the sky and listening to the brook. The town was far away, over the hill. We were in another world, Laura and I.
Jean.
Laura. Darling Laura. You are beautiful.
Oh, I'm really not, you know.
You are, you are. You're beautiful like a thing that flies. Like a moth or a bird. I can't catch you. You're like spring.
Oh,
and
Jean, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
What is it? What's the matter, dear?
Eugene, my dear, you're only a child. I'm a grown woman.
I'm 16. You're only 21. That's only 5 years difference. That's nothing.
Oh, you don't know what you're saying. It's all the difference in the world.
When I'm 20, you'll be 25. When I'm 26, you'll be 31. When I'm 48, you'll be 53. What's that? Nothing.
Everything, everything. At my age, dear, most girls are thinking of getting married. What if I had begun to think of it, too?
Married? So that's it. You're going to get married, huh? You have fellows, have you? You go out with them, do you? You've known it all the time, and you've tried to fool me.
No, my dear, I haven't said so. But there's nothing unusual about getting married. Most people do. Oh, my dear, don't look like that. Nothing has happened. Nothing, nothing.
Laura, my dear, my sweet, don't leave me alone. I've always been alone.
Eugene, listen to me. You'll forget this ever happened. You'll forget me. You'll forget. Forget.
I'll never forget. I won't live long enough.
And I'll never love anyone else. I'll never leave you. I'll wait for you forever. Oh, my dear. Child, my child.
And who shall say, whatever disenchantment follows, that we ever forget magic, or that we can ever betray on this leaden earth the apple tree, the singing, and the gold?
We believed it, Ben. We believed all we said. Then, Laura went home to Little Richmond for the holiday. I guess I never showed you the letter she wrote me, Ben. It came about 3 days after she'd gone. The words seemed to leap up off the page like her own voice.
Jean, my Jean, Richard came yesterday. He is 25, has a job in Norfolk. We're going off quietly tomorrow and get married. My dear, I couldn't tell you. I tried to, but I couldn't. I didn't want to lie. Everything else was true. I meant all I said. If you hadn't been so young, but what's the use of saying it? Try to forgive me, but please don't forget me. Goodbye, and God bless you.
Mama's boarders laughed at me, Ben. On the porch at Dixieland, they rocked, all rocked with the laughter. That little fat girl from Charleston.
Jean's lost his girl. Jean's lost. darkest girl, she's my girl.
And Mr. Hake, the flower salesman.
Don't let him kid you, big boy. Get another girl.
You should worry, boy. You should worry.
That's right. Get another girl.
Sure, women are like streetcars. If you miss one, there's always another one along.
I couldn't take it. You were there, Ben. You and Helen. You remember how I ran around this house? I was like a wild animal, snarling and cursing.
Gene, where are you going?
Leave me alone.
Ben, see if you can stop him. He's crazy.
Which way did he go?
Around and back. Oh, quick.
Little fool. Gene! Oh, there you are. Gene, you fool, what are you trying to do?
I will kill you. House. Vile and accursed house. I'll tear you down. I'll bring it down upon everybody. I'll wreck you. House!
Fool, what are you trying to do? Do you think you can bring it back to you by wrecking the house? Are there no other women in the world that you should let one get the best of you like this?
Let me go! Let me go! What does it matter to you?
I don't think, fool, that I care. You're hurting no one but yourself. Do you think, idiot, that anyone cares if you kill yourself? No, no, I don't care what you do, you know. I simply want to save the family the trouble and expense of burying you.
Let me go! I'll kill you! Did I hurt you, Ben?
Don't be a fool. Of course not.
Ben, you're hurt. You're sick, Ben.
Listen to this, won't you? Throw the house, Gene. Wash yourself. You ought to comb your hair once a week, you know. You can't go around like a wild man. You little bum. I want you to learn sense. Get away from this house. This town as soon as you can. Try to amount to something. None of the rest of us had a chance. Do you get that?
Sure, Ben. I get it.
Let's get out of here. Go to town. When was the last time you ate anything?
I don't know. Yesterday sometime.
Come on, let's go. For Pete's sake, boy, don't stand there looking at me like that. Can't you forget about her?
No. She keeps coming back all the time, Ben. All the time.
Come up into the hills, O my young love. Return. Where is the day that melted into one rich noise? Where is the music of your flesh, the rhyme of your teeth, the dainty languor of your arms, your slender fingers to be bitten like an apple? Oh, my young love, return not into life, but into magic, where we have never died, into the enchanted wood where we still lie strewn upon the grass. Come up into the hills, oh, my young love. Return, return, return.
Do you think I just imagined her, Ben?
How should I know?
What I mean is, if we're really here on the square of Altamont, standing here in Papa's shop, what was that? Did you see that, Ben?
Did I see what?
That angel there, one of Papa's angels. It lifted its arm.
Well, it has a right to, hasn't it?
Yes, only I've always heard.
Fool, do you believe all you hear?
No, because if I did, I wouldn't believe that you...
That I what?
You are dead, Ben. You must be dead. I saw you die. I tell you, I saw you die. Don't you remember? The front room upstairs at Dixieland. The room that the dentist's wife has now. Don't you remember, Ben? Mama and Papa sent me a telegram at the university.
Come at once. Ben has pneumonia.
When I got to Dixieland, they were all in the parlor. Mama, Papa, Helen, Luke. It was 3 a.m.
Jean, my son, my baby.
Mama,
Hello, Flats. How are you, honey?
Oh, hello, Helen.
Look at him, Luke. He's grown 4 inches since he went away. Well, Jean, cheer up. Don't look so blue.
How is he?
While there's life, there's hope. He's not gone yet.
How did it happen?
It's this cursed coal barn. If that boy dies, it's because he couldn't keep warm in this coal house.
Luke, you oughtn't to talk that way, son. Ben caught the flu from one of Daisy's children. I couldn't keep him in bed. He moped around here a week. And finally, I said to Mr. Gant, I said, Mr. Gant, I believe I'll call the doctor.
That's what should have been done in the first place.
Never mind, never mind. Why bring that up now? Get on with it.
Well, to make a long story short, Ben's been desperately ill all week with pneumonia. What's the matter with you, Papa?
To think that this must come upon me, old and sick as I am. What have I done that God should punish
you
me?
You shut up, shut your mouth this minute. I don't want to hear any more from you. I've given my life to you. Everything's been done for you. And you'll be here when we're all gone. You're not the one who's sick.
Children, we must try to love one another in this hour. Besides, Jean, I'm not so sure Ben's as bad off as he looks.
Mama, in pity's name, how can you bear to talk like that? Are you never going to wake up?
All right, you'd better come now. This is the end.
Dr. Coker, is there nothing more you can do? Have you tried everything? I mean, everything.
Everything. Not all the king's horses, not all the doctors and nurses in the world can help him now.
How long have you known this?
For 2 days, from the beginning, for 10 years. Since I first saw him at 3 a.m. in the Greasy Spoon. With a donut in one hand and a cigarette in the other.
That terrible paper route.
If I had known. Oh, if I had known.
My dear woman, we can't turn back the days that have gone. We can't turn life back into the hours when our lungs were sound, our blood hot, our bodies young. We're a flash of fire, a brain, a heart, a spirit. And we're 3 cents worth of lime and iron, which we cannot get back.
Poor Eugene. You'll miss him more than any of us.
Old Ben. When shall we see his like again?
I guess Ben's gone. You sit here with Mama, Jean. You're her youngest.
Mama. Mama, Mama. Mama, answer me. Mama, he wasn't afraid to die. I saw it in his eyes. He looked at us just like he always did. He wasn't afraid. Oh, God, whoever you are, be good to Ben tonight. Show him the way, whoever you are. Be good to Ben tonight. Show him the way.
We can believe in the nothingness of death and of life after death. But who can believe in the nothingness of Ben? Like Apollo he came, a god with broken feet, into the gray hovel of this world. And he lived here a stranger, trying to recapture the music of the lost world, trying to recall the great forgotten language, the lost faces, the stone, the leaf, the door. Oh, Artemis Doris, farewell.
I tell you, you are dead, Ben. I saw you die.
Fool, I'm not dead.
Is this the square then, Ben? Is it you I'm talking to? Is this moonlight in the square?
How should I know? When are you leaving Altamont, Jean?
Tomorrow.
When are you coming back?
What? At the end of the school year, I think.
No, you're not.
What do you mean, Ben?
You're not coming back, Jean. Do you know that?
Yes. I guess I know it. That's why I came here to Papa's shop. To tell his angels goodbye.
Why do you want to leave, Jean?
I want to find...
something, I guess, Ben.
Fool, what do you want to find?
Myself. And an end to hunger. And the happy land. For I believe in harbors at the end. Oh, Ben, brother and ghost and stranger. You who could never speak, give me an answer now. Will I find it?
There is no happy land. There is no end to hunger.
And a stone? A leaf? A door? Ben, will I find it in strange lands?
I cannot speak of voyages I never got away.
Your flesh is dead and buried in these hills, Ben. My unimprisoned soul haunts through the million streets of life, living a spectral nightmare of hunger and desire. Where, Ben? Where is the world?
Nowhere. You are the world.
Ben? Do you see it?
Yes.
The angels are moving. They're beginning to dance. Ben, look! Papa's marble cherubim, it's flying! Round and round! Ben, look at them! Look at them!
What haven't they ever right to, haven't they?
Not here in Alchemist. It's not right! Ghost! Ghost!
Fool, I tell you, I'm not a ghost.
Then what are you?
Listen to this, won't you?
Where are you going? Ben, you're fading away! Come back! Ben, my brother, my child, don't leave me! Don't leave me!
listen to this, won't you? Listen to this.
I have journeyed far from the mountains of my youth, upon coasts more strange than Cipango, more far than Fez I have searched, but my search has been in vain. And so, remembering what my brother told me on that square so long ago, I have resolved to search in that other land that lies within, in a city of myself, upon the continent of my soul. I shall find the great forgotten language, the lost lane end into heaven, a stone, a leaf, a door.
This has been a feature production of the Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques. Elizabeth Lomax adapted the Farewell to Altamont sequence from the Thomas Wolfe novel, Look Homeward, Angel. Mark Loeb directed for the workshop, and the musical score was specially composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. In today's cast, Ted Osborne and Martin Wolfson acted as narrators. The role of Eugene Gant was played by Larry Robinson. Others in the cast included Joe DeSantis, Dorothy Sands, Fran Heflin, Ethel Everett, Barry Hopkins, Art Carney, and John Amrine. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present an original farce, The Man Who Could Bring Pictures to Life, written by George Bass and directed by Albert Ward. Saturday night is good listening over CBS. Stay tuned now for Larry Lesser, famous correspondent, over many of these same stations. This is Don Baker speaking for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.